Will you please turn to the book of Acts? Acts chapter 13. We'll read from verse 1. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in Antioch, in the assembly which was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, and Manaen, foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me now, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, and having laid their hands on them, they let them go. Same chapter, verse 13. And having sailed from Paphos, Paul and his company came to Perga of Pamphylia, and John separated from them and returned to Jerusalem. But they, passing through from Perga, came to Antioch of Pisidia. And then we turn to chapter 14. We could begin with verse 20. Chapter 14, verse 20. But while the disciples encircled him, he rose up and entered into the city. And on the morrow he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And having announced the glad tidings to that city, and having made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, establishing the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to abide in the faith, and that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. And having chosen them elders in each assembly, having prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord on whom they have believed. The letter to the Galatians. The letter to the Galatians. Chapter 1. We will begin with verse 6. Through verse 12. I wonder that he thus quickly changed from him that called you in Christ's grace to a different gospel, which is not another one, but there are some that trouble you and desire to pervert the glad tidings of the Christ. But if even we, or an angel out of heaven, announce a glad tidings to you, anything besides what we have announced as glad tidings to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now also again I say, if anyone announce to you as glad tidings anything besides what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now seek to satisfy man or God, or do I seek to please man? If I were yet pleasing man, I were not Christ's bondman. But I let you know, brethren, as to the glad tidings which were announced by me, that they are not according to man. For neither did I receive them from man, neither was I taught them, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. The same letter, the last chapter. Chapter 6. We'll read from verse 11 through verse 16. See how long a letter I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to have a fair appearance in the flesh, these compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted because of the cross of Christ. For neither do they that are circumcised themselves keep the law, but they wish you to be circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but new creation. And as many as shall walk by this rule, peace upon them and mercy upon the Israel of God. May we look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, how we want to thank Thee for saving us, for gathering us together unto Thyself, for giving us the right and the privilege, the honor of being at Thy table, partaking of Thy body that is broken for us, and the blood shed for the remission of our sins. Lord, what can we say? Thou hast shown Thy love to us to the uttermost. Lord, we come to Thee this morning. We do want to submit ourselves to Thee and allow Thee to work out Thy full salvation in us, that Thou mayest be glorified. We do commit this time into Thy hands, trusting Thy Holy Spirit to speak through Thy word to our hearts. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. For some time, we have been trying to share together on the life of the body of Christ. We mentioned how the concept of the church, the body of Christ, was conceived in God, in Christ, even before the foundation of the world. And we also shared together on this matter of the birth of the church. We also have shared on the first church on earth, the church in Jerusalem, how those who believe in the Lord, they persevered together in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then we move on to share on the church in Antioch. There we find the Holy Spirit made a new move. The church in Jerusalem, being in Jerusalem and being composed of the Jews, somehow they were not able to be completely separated themselves from Judaism. And because of this, the Holy Spirit made a new move. And we remember how the church in Antioch was brought into being. And disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now this morning we would like to continue on. In chapter 13 of the book of Acts, we find that in the church in Antioch, there were five prophets and teachers. They were not the elders of the church, the governing body, but they were those whom the Lord raised up to minister the word of God in that church in Antioch. And if you look at the five of them, I think we are familiar with the first one, Barnabas, because Barnabas, that name was actually given by the apostles to him. Formerly he was called Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. But he was renamed Barnabas because he was a son of consolation. He has such a big heart. And he was the one who was sent by the church in Jerusalem to visit those believers in the Gentile cities. He was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. He was also a man who knew his limitation. You remember how he went to Tarsus to find Saul, to bring Saul to Antioch, that together they may serve the brothers and sisters there. Now that was Barnabas. And then you find the second one is Simeon, who was called Niger. Niger means black. Now we do not know exactly who this person was. There was some kind of supposition, but one thing we did know, and that he was a black person, probably from Africa. And then you find Lucius the Cyrenian. Again, we are not very sure of who that person was. Probably he was among those in chapter 11, verse 20, you remember, some Cyprians and Cyrenians who were scattered from Jerusalem because of persecution. They went to Antioch and they preached to the Greek. And probably Lucius was one of them. Or some people said probably he was a kinsman of Paul. Because in Romans chapter 16 verse 21, Paul mentioned some of his kinsmen and Lucius' name was mentioned. And by kinsman, it simply means a fellow Jew. And probably that was the person. But we really don't know much about it. And there was another one called Manian, foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch. Now, this man was brought up with Herod Antipas. So he came from a higher class. And then finally, we have the name Saul, and we are familiar with him, because he was Saul the Pharisee, who persecuted the church, and was met by the Lord on the road to Damascus, and was converted, and became a servant of the Lord. But anyway, you find these five men were raised up by God in that local assembly in Antioch to minister God's word. These were prophets and teachers. They were very different. Their background was different. Where they came from was different. And yet you find they served together as one. The wonderful thing we find here was, as they were ministering unto the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, we often think that those who minister the word, they minister to the saints. Now, that is very true. But before anyone can minister to the saints, they need first to minister unto the Lord. And you find these five, they waited upon the Lord. They drew near to the Lord. They worshiped the Lord. They waited for the Lord's word to come upon them before they will go to the people and minister to them. Now, while they were ministering unto the Lord with fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke. The Holy Spirit said to them, "Separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I call them to do." And when the Holy Spirit spoke, these brothers listened. They obeyed. Now, even though probably the other three would like very much to see Barnabas and Saul stay behind, that they might minister together. And yet, you'll find they all obey the Holy Spirit. They all obey God. And the three laid hands on the two and let them go. So that is the beginning of the apostolic work of the Apostle Paul. Barnabas and Paul, at that time he was still Saul, they went out together. And naturally, the first place they visited was Cyprus, because Barnabas came from Cyprus. So they traveled through Cyprus. And after the travel through the whole island, then they crossed the water and came to Perga of Pamphylia. Now, when they came to Perga of Pamphylia, we find that John, Mark, left them. In the first apostolic journey, they spent most of the time in the southern part of Galatia. Now, probably it was between the year AD 47 to 49. They probably spent about 2.5 years in this journey. They came to Perga of Pamphylia. But instead of announcing the gospel in Pamphylia, you find that they left Perga and they went north to Antioch of Pisidia. Now, why was that so? According to Ramsey, he said probably it was at that time that Paul got malaria fever. And because of this, they have to try to go to a higher land. So they went north to Antioch of Pisidia, which is about 100 miles north. And it is a higher ground, about 3,600 feet above sea level. And probably that was the reason. So they went into the area of Galatia. During the first trip, they spent most of the time in Galatia. Now, when they arrived in Antioch of Pisidia, as was their custom, first of all, they went to the synagogue, because that's where the Jews and those worshiping Gentiles were gathered together. It was a ready audience. And you remember, in the synagogue, at that time, they have much freedom. After the reading of the prophets and the Torah, if they saw someone who looked like a teacher, even though he might be a stranger, they will ask if you have anything to say. So Saul, Paul, and Barnabas, they went to the synagogue, waiting until the scripture was read, and sure enough, the ruler of the synagogue came over and said, "Now, strangers, do you have anything to say?" They have quite freedom and liberty in the synagogue. So Saul stood up, and there he presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. He presented the grace of God to the people. He told them how Jesus Christ is the seed of David. And he related to them how the Lord Jesus was crucified and how he was raised from the dead. And people who were not able to be saved under Moses, under the law of Moses, will be saved by this man, Jesus Christ. And after he gave his first message, you find many of the Jews and some of the worshiping Gentiles, they follow Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas continue to persuade them to continue in the grace of God. And by the next Sabbath, the whole city seemed to come to hear Paul and Barnabas. And because of this, the Jews became very jealous, and they began to contradict Paul. So finally, Paul and Barnabas had to tell them, now the gospel of Jesus Christ must first be presented to you, the Jews, because you were the chosen people of God. You were prepared by God for the coming of the Messiah. But if you reject him, then we will go to the Gentiles, because the Messiah is also the light of the nations. And when the Gentiles heard about that, they were very happy, because they saw the door to salvation was open to them. And many came to the Lord. So they separated themselves from the synagogue, and they continued there for a while. And we find that the word of grace spread all over the country. But through the jealousy of the Jews, they incited people. And finally, the authority cast these two apostles out of Antioch of Pisidia. So they were driven out of the city. But the disciples that remained there, they were full of joy and of the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, we will think that when they find that these two men were cast out, they were left as sheep without shepherd, probably they will be filled with sorrow. And then now, what shall we do now? The teachers are gone. But brothers and sisters, you'll find they were full of joy and of the Holy Spirit. Now that's the beginning of the church in Antioch of Pisidia. And from there, after they were cast out, they went southeast about 90 miles to Iconia. Now, Iconia was the metropolitan of the Lycian district. And as usual, on Sabbath, they again went into the synagogue. And they presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. And you find many of the Jews and the Gentiles, they believe in the Lord Jesus. And again, that stirred up the jealousy of the Jews. So there was opposition. But in spite of opposition, the apostles stayed there for a long while. And they announced the glad tidings of the Lord Jesus with boldness. And the Holy Spirit bore witness to their preaching with signs and wonders. So finally you find the whole city was divided. Now, brothers and sisters, wherever the gospel is preached, you find it divides. It divides people into the believing and the non-believing. So the whole city was divided. And finally, there was a plot. They wanted to stone the apostles. So when they heard about that, they fled from Iconia. And they went further southeast, about 40 miles, into another place called Lystra. Now, evidently, there was no synagogue in Lystra. It was a heathen city. So probably you'll find, instead of, they usually will go to the synagogue. There was no synagogue there. And probably they did open air meeting. And there was a man who was born lame. He had never walked before. But when he listened to the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul saw there was faith in that person. So he said, "Rise up and walk." And he got up and walked. And because of this miracle, now being a healing city, well, they thought the gods had appeared. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and they called Paul Mercury, because he was the one who spoke. And the temple in Jupiter, the priests, they began to come with an ox, trying, and with flowers, and trying to offer sacrifice to them. You find the subtlety of the enemy. In the former cases, you find opposition, persecution. But here you find they were welcome, and they were honored to be as gods. But thank God, Paul and Barnabas, they saw through the subtlety of the enemy. They went into their midst, they tore their clothes, torn their clothes, and even stopped them and said, "We are but men." And it is God who is calling people to repentance. And they barely were able to stop them from doing such foolish things. But then you see how the people were changed. Because the Jews coming from Antioch and Iconium, they stirred up the people. And the same people who wanted to honor those two apostles as gods, they turned against them. And they stoned Paul almost to death. We do not know whether he was really dead or not, but they thought he was dead. So they pulled him out of the city and threw him there. But the disciples, those who have believed, they gather around him. And suddenly he stood up and walked back to the city. Now it was a miracle. But they left the next day. And they went further southeast to an adjoining city called Derbe. Now Derbe at that time was a Roman frontier city of the province of Galatia. It was a small town, and you find Paul and Barnabas, they stay there for a while, and it seems everything was quiet there. There was no opposition, and many disciples were made come to the Lord. Now, that was their first trip out. And after that, the apostles make a return trip. They return from Derbe back to Lystra, to Iconia, and to Antioch. And in the first outgoing trip, their ministry was preaching the gospel, announcing Jesus Christ, the grace of God. And by that, many came to the Lord. But in their returning trip, you'll find their work is a work of establishing the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to abide in the faith, and also to help them to see that we must suffer tribulation in order to enter into the kingdom of God. So it is a more a work of establishing them in the Lord. And also, they appointed elders for them and committed them to the Lord. Now, that you'll find in Acts chapter 13 and chapter 14. Now, that is the first trip Paul and Barnabas took as apostles sent out by the Holy Spirit. Now, to sum up, now in these churches of Galatia, now you find the Bible say the churches of Galatia. Now why? Because Galatia is a province, a Roman province. It is not a city. It's composed of many cities. And in each city, you find God raised up a testimony to His own name. So, the churches of Galatia is never called the church in Galatia. It's always called churches of Galatia because it is composed of a number of churches. And again, you see that these churches are not a federation. In other words, they were not joined together organizationally. But you find that because they are in the same province, they are in the vicinities, therefore they have such close fellowship one with another. So when Paul wrote the letter, he wrote the letter to the churches of Galatia. When you look at these churches, number one, you find all these churches came into being through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You find that it is the Holy Spirit who touched the hearts of those who heard the gospel. And they repented and believed in the Lord Jesus. So these people, they were the members of the body of Christ in that particular locality. Also, you'll find that these churches came into being through the travail of the apostles. You'll find how the apostles suffered while they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But through their tribulation, their affliction, they were able to bring in people to the Lord and gather them unto the Lord. So all these churches came into being through the preaching of the gospel and also through the travail of the apostles. Secondly, you find that all these churches, except probably Derby, they were born in tribulation. Because wherever the gospel is preached, you find it is so much against the world, so different from the world, that the world will rise up and try to destroy it. So when these churches were born in tribulation, naturally you'll find the separation from the world was very complete. You can sense that is a good thing. You know, because if a church begins in peace, without any suffering, without any opposition from the world, probably you will find the brothers and sisters will not be so separated from the world. And that is the problem we find today. And thank God that in the early days, you find when the gospel is preached, it's always separated, and that should be. And it always raises up the opposition of the world. That should be. And there you'll find these churches were separated from the world. And number three, you'll find that the apostles, after they preached the gospel to them, and even when they remained with them for a while, you find they never organized them into churches. They left them. And they went to another place. They left them to the Lord. They left them to the Holy Spirit. And only when they returned after a year or two, then they noticed that these brothers and sisters, they had grown in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit had already manifested those who should be elders. And the apostles recognized it and appointed them as elders. So in other words, you'll find a church is never organized. It is born. And even though there will be some organization, like some elders being appointed, but you'll find it is the manifestation of life. It is not something done by man. It is not something mechanical. It is not something technical. You'll find it is something that grows out of life. And when life begins to grow, an order will come into being. So these you'll find in the churches of Galatia. But these churches in Galatia, they were the first love of the Apostle Paul, because they were his first labor. And usually your first labor will be your first love. He loved these people. But after 10 years, around AD 57, he wrote a letter to the churches of Galatia. And if you read that letter, you'll find that it was a letter of anguish, of sorrow. Now, why is it so? The churches of Galatia had a wonderful beginning. And their relationship with Apostle Paul was so dear, because in a letter to them, Paul mentioned, when he first came into their midst, he was in weakness. As we say, he had malaria fever. And if you have malaria fever, you'll find sometimes you shake. And, and his eyesight was affected. And they loved him so much. They, if possible, they were willing to take out their own eyes and give to the Apostle Paul. So you'll find there was such a close, loving relationship between Paul and the churches of Galatia. But 10 years later, Paul had to write such a letter to them. Why? Because in the time between, some Judaizers entered into their midst. And they persuaded these people. You believe in the Lord Jesus. But if you want to be perfect, you have to keep the law. You must be circumcised. You have to keep days, festivals, and that will complete you. And these brothers and sisters, in their ignorance, probably in their desire to be spiritual quick. You know, we all want to be spiritual quickly, you know, and these brothers and sisters, as they move on with the Lord, and maybe after a number of years, They found that their progress in the Lord was very slow, and they really desire that they may be perfect. And suddenly some people come and say, well, there is a way to be perfect. You cannot be perfected just by believing in the Lord Jesus. If you want to be perfected, you have to keep the law. You have to be circumcised. And then instantly, you are perfect. And, of course, that appeal to the flesh. You know, the flesh always wants to do something. And anybody tells you that the flesh can do nothing, now, it's very degrading. Our flesh always likes to do something, accomplish something, that we may boast of something. Now, when you come to the Lord Jesus, there is nothing to boast of because there is no righteousness of our own. We have to come to the Lord as sinners and accept the grace of the Lord Jesus completely. There is nothing we can do. We have to depend completely on the grace of the Lord Jesus. That's very humiliating. And that is the reason why many proud people never came to the Lord. The pride, the proud people will never come to the Lord. I remember the story of Charles Finley. You know, Charles Finley was a lawyer. And in studying the law, he find that the law referred to the Bible. So he got a Bible as a reference. And he began to read the Bible. And at one time, the Spirit of God really convicted him. So he began to read the Bible more, not just as a reference. But whenever he saw somebody enter into his office, he hid his Bible. And one day, when he was going to his office, the burden of his soul was so heavy upon him. Instead of going to office, he went to the woods. And he entered deep into the woods because he didn't want anybody to see him. And he found a place where there was a tree fallen. So he knelt down and prayed. And before he did that, he made a kind of vow. Either I die or I got saved. I will never come out. So he began to pray. He thought he could pray. But whenever he saw some sound and rustling in the forest, he got up and looked around. He didn't want anybody to see him kneeling there praying. And it happened a few times. He was very sorry because he made such a vow. He couldn't pray anymore. And there was nothing happening. Now what should he do? And at that time, the Holy Spirit convicted him of his pride. You, a sinner, seeking for forgiveness. And yet, you are afraid that people may see you there, kneeling and asking for forgiveness. What a proud man you are. He repented of his pride, and he got saved. Wonderfully saved. So, brothers and sisters, you'll find that we naturally are very proud. We want to do something. And even after we got saved, we still want to do something. Now, isn't that true? As Paul said in the letter to the Galatians, we begin with the Spirit. We try to be completed, perfected with the flesh. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that every one of us has done that or is still doing that. You believe in the Lord Jesus. You receive His grace. But brothers and sisters, very soon, you will find that you begin to move into the area of the law. You begin to move back into your flesh. You begin to try to do something to be perfect. Maybe you say to be justified, you have to depend upon the Lord. But to be holy, you have to depend on yourself. So you try to be holy. You try to be a good Christian. You try to do everything. You try to overcome sin. And you try to please the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the heart is right. But how subtle is the enemy? That unconsciously, he is moving us away from Christ into ourselves. Away from grace into law. We make law for ourselves. Away from the Holy Spirit to the flesh. So these believers, they were enticed by these Judaizers. They went back into the law. So they have something to boast in their flesh. They didn't see the subtlety of the enemy. But thank God for Paul. He saw through the subtlety of the enemy. He saw that this is not a small thing, because this perverts the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the self, the flesh, is crucified on the cross. There is no good in the flesh. You cannot anyway depend upon the flesh. If anything you try to do, and do it on your own, without the Holy Spirit, you are being enticed away from Christ. Paul saw through the subtlety of the enemy. So you find when he heard about these things, that hurt him so deeply. He wrote a letter to them. And you know, usually, Paul, because of his eyesight, he usually will dictate, and somebody will write it down. And then finally, he will sign his name there. You know, but this letter to the Galatians, he wrote himself. He said, what a long letter I have written. Now to him it's really long. Because he wrote it himself. Because he was so disturbed. He was so in anguish. He loved these people so much. He wanted to deliver them from the enemy. So you find he used very strong words. He said, the gospel that you are supposed to receive now is not the gospel. There is only one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is everything. From the beginning to the very end, he is the door. He is the way. He is the beginning and he is the perfection. Everything is in Christ Jesus. You cannot try to find anything outside of the Lord Jesus. This is what the church is. This is what a Christian is. This is what the gospel is. Anything that is outside of Christ leads us away from Christ. The law, the works, the flesh is another gospel. And he said, it is not another of the same kind. The word another there he used is another of a different kind. He said it is not of the gospel. Whoever preaches that kind of gospel, even by me, or by even an angel from heaven, he is to be accursed. Now that's very strong. Paul said, if I come back to you and preach another gospel, mixing law with grace, I am to be accursed. Even an angel will be accursed. And brothers and sisters, today we find some so-called Christianity, they hear the voice so-called by the angels. The angels give a message, but it's very different from what the Word of God is. There is only one gospel. And the gospel is Jesus Christ. He is the beginning and He is the end. He is all. He is everything. Brothers and sisters, so the Apostle Paul wrote a very strong letter to them. And he told them that the gospel he preached to them was not from man. He did not receive it from man. It was by revelation of Jesus Christ. And he even mentioned how subtle is the enemy. That even Peter, when Peter came to Antioch, before some brothers from James in Jerusalem came to Antioch, Peter ate with the brothers and sisters of these Gentiles. But when some came from James, Peter got frightened. And he separated himself from the Gentiles. And the Jews also did that. And even Barnabas was affected. So you find Paul, even though he was younger, and yet he faced Peter in the public and said, you did something wrong. For the gospel's sake. And thank God for Peter that he accepted a younger brother's word. And if you read 2 Peter, you find he even said, beloved Paul. He wrote something that is hard to understand, but that's the word of God. So within about 10 years later, you'll find the whole situation in Antioch. In Galatia, was changed. Now, we do not know what was the result of that letter. We hope that that letter will come to them as an eye-opening, that they will really see through the subtlety of the enemy and be delivered and return to Christ Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, what are the lessons that we can learn from these churches of Galatia? Number one, a good beginning does not guarantee a happy ending. This is not only true individually, this is also true corporately. We may begin right, but it is the ending that's important. The churches in Galatia began gloriously, but the ending was shameful. So, we must never give up. Watch. Be vigilant. Never be too sure. Never have any confidence in ourselves. The perseverance of the saints is not by the saints themselves. They are kept by the grace of God. We are what we are by the grace of God. If we move away from grace and begin to trust in our flesh, we will fall from grace because we are not able to keep ourselves. It is God who is able to keep us to the very end. So, brothers and sisters, how we need to commit ourselves to Him, for Him to keep. Just like Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm fully persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him. Brothers and sisters, you know whom you have believed. But have you committed yourself to Him? That is the only way that you can be kept. If you have not committed yourself to Him, give yourself completely to Him, put yourself in His hands, allow Him to take care of you, brothers and sisters, there is no assurance that we will be able to come to the very end. It is the grace of God only that keep us. So we need a commitment. You know, many brothers and sisters, they believe in the Lord, but there is no commitment. We still want to be our own master. We still want to take ourselves in our own hand, run our own life. Now, if you do that, brothers and sisters, there is a great danger there. We need to be a people fully committed to Him because He is the only one who is able to keep us to the very end. So, brothers and sisters, first of all, I think the lesson to learn is be vigilant. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. The Apostle Paul said, be vigilant. Stand fast in the faith. Quit yourselves like men. Be strong. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8 and verse 9. Be vigilant. Watch. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in faith, knowing that the selfsame sufferings are accomplished in your brotherhood, which is in the world. So the exhortation to us, as we think of the life of the church of Galatia, I think the first thing, the first lesson we need to learn is never be too sure of ourselves. Our confidence is in God. Be vigilant. Watch. Stand fast in faith. Quit yourself like a man. Be strong. Because the enemy is like a roaring lion. He is walking over the whole world trying to see whom he could devour. That is the first lesson we need to learn. And then the second lesson. Never mix law with grace. Mixing law with grace changed the very nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find this was not only true in the first century. You find it is even more true today. There are many groups that mix law with grace. And there are many who may not officially, publicly, mixing law with grace, but unconsciously, we are mixing law with grace. How do we know this is law and not grace? How do we know it is not our work? I think the easiest thing to see the difference is, are we doing it ourselves? Or are we doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit? If we do a thing by ourselves, we will find we are keeping the law, a regulation, a rule, a creed, a method. It becomes legalistic because we are doing it. But if we see that without Him we can do nothing, and it is only by Him that we are able to do it. Now that's the work of faith. Not just works, but the work of faith. And the work of faith is the work that is done by the life, by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, outwardly, you may not be able to see the difference. You are doing something. But the source is different. And the result will be different. If you are doing it by yourselves, the result is boasting in the flesh. If you are doing it by the life of Christ in you, the result is God is glorified. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful about it. Law. Works, flesh, they always join hands together. Just like grace, faith, and Holy Spirit are joined together. So never try to mix up law with grace. We need to always remember that our whole life is a life of grace. We depend upon Him. And Him alone. And thirdly, anything, anyone that leads us away from Christ need to be avoided. You know, these Judaizers, when they came into among the brethren, they believed in the Lord Jesus, yes? But they say it's not enough. Christ is not sufficient. You have to have Christ plus something. Plus you're keeping the law. Then you are perfect. And furthermore, you find they try to draw people away from Paul unto themselves. So anyone anything that draws us away from Christ into something else or into someone else, brothers and sisters, we need to be very, very careful. The danger is there. Because we know that only Christ is all and in all. This is the will of God. The all-sufficiency of Christ. Brothers and sisters, not Christ plus something else. Not Christ plus someone else. It is Christ and Christ alone. And this is the gospel truth. And may the Lord keep us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank Thee for giving us these examples of the churches of Galatia. And thank Thee for giving us that letter, the letter to the Galatians. Lord, we do pray that these examples and these words will really help us, deliver us from the danger that we are all exposed to. Oh, dear Lord, do pray that Thou will search our hearts, that we will not by any means, by any way, by any people, to draw us away from Thyself. Lord, pray that we may maintain such a living relationship with Thyself that we see nothing but Jesus only. Oh, keep us. Keep the truth of the gospel in the midst of Thy people. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen.